Good morning, Your Honor. Standish Willis on behalf of Mr. Cross.
Mr. Willis.
Mr. Cross was charged with mortgage fraud. He pled guilty to all counts of mortgage fraud. At the sentencing, the trial judge enhanced his sentence based on the facts that the trial judge determined that he was the leader or organizer of the scheme and that the scheme was complex. We reserved the issue of whether the trial judge had the authority to do that, and that was based on a case that the Supreme Court had ordered. It's called Joseph Stratton case. The Supreme Court had ordered the state, the government, to respond to arguments in that case partially based on the ex post facto argument. And the argument based on the one that we make for Mr. Cross is that Mr. Cross committed offenses back in 2002, 2003. The Booker case came down in January 2005. The Booker case was a significant and major change in the law. And Mr. Cross was sentenced under the change in law. And ex parte, the question that comes up in terms of lawmaking and judicial construction is, if a law is changed after the individual commits the offense, that individual cannot be penalized by the change in law. And the change in law, of course, was the guidelines were made advisory. The mandatory section was severed. And in so doing, the remedial section allowed the trial judge to make fact-finding. Prior to Booker, the Apprendi and Blakely cases required the trial judge, prohibited the trial judge from making fact-finding. The trial judge had to accept the facts of the jury and facts that were stipulated to by the defendant. So Mr. Cross should have been able to expect that since he committed a crime during the Apprendi Booker era, that he will be sentenced under the Blakely Apprendi era, which means that he would not be subjected to a judge making fact-finding. And so that's essentially the argument that we make, and we make that argument because his guideline increased by 5 points as a result of the fact-finding that the trial judge made. And that increase, because it was based on fact-finding the judge, we think was prohibitive. And we asked the court to...
What do you say about the decision in Rita, which considers and rejects the argument you're now making?
Well, I don't know that... Well, if Rita had not come down, I hadn't thought of Rita as rejecting...
Yeah, but it's come down now, and the argument you were making was rejected by the Supreme Court. So what's the point of making it here? We're not in the business of defying the Supreme Court.
I understand that, Judge, and I have filed mine brief long before Rita came down, and so that's why we make it here. We're making the court aware of the argument that we made based on Stratton, which came down before Rita. If there are no other questions, I ask the court to consider our arguments in light of Rita and remand the case for resentencing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Johnson.
Morning, Your Honors, Counsel. Leela Johnson on behalf of the United States. As Your Honor has pointed out, the ex post facto issues have been well settled by Rita as well as this court in U.S. versus Hawkins and U.S. versus Roberson. And the government would simply ask that based on the evidence in our arguments in our briefs that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
That's a nice, succinct argument.
Mm-hmm.
I understood it, too.
Mr. Willis, anything further?
I think the argument is still pertinent to that sentencing. And so I would still ask the courts to consider the ex post facto argument in that it came down before Rita became law. And I think at that time that he was sentenced, certainly the Blakely Apprendi was controlling.
By the way, your brief was filed well after Rita came down, and I notice you don't mention it. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.